But first, MPs have been debating the terms of the EU withdrawal bill for weeks, and on Wednesday finally voted on whether to give themselves a meaningful vote on Brexit. This saw a hardy band of 11 Tory mutineers join Labour to vote against the government. And with me is one of those rebels, former local government minister Bob Neil, to discuss what happened with former exiting European Union minister David Jones. Bob, David, welcome. We're recording this the morning after the vote. How do you feel about Bob? Do you feel a bit disloyal to Theresa May?
Not in the slightest. I voted to trigger Article 50 to respect the referendum outcome. The vote was whether or not we left the European Union. The details as to how we leave, the terms upon which we leave, and the timescale were not on the ballot paper. That's for Parliament to decide. If taking back control is anything other than a slogan, it means taking back control to our legislative institutions.
And trusting MPs to get it right.
Absolutely. MPs are there to do the job. Taking back control to our sovereign parliament. That's what we did. No more, no less.
David Jones, Bob Neil's being a Democrat. What's the problem here?
I don't think there's a problem at all. In fact, I'm pretty relaxed about what happened last night. What it means is that Parliament will get a vote, which had, in fact, had already been promised by the government on the terms of a deal, and that will be translated into a bill which we hope will become an act. I think, however, that we have to bear in mind what would happen if we didn't get that act through. What would happen would be that we would leave the European Union, come what may, on the 29th of March 2019, and we would leave without a deal. So I think that that will concentrate minds when that vote comes before Parliament.
So what you've teed up here, Bob, is a deal or no deal vote, haven't you, in sometime later next year?
Actually, what we've teed up is that Parliament has a say on what the nature of the deal is, and actually puts our Parliament in the same position as the European Parliament's going to be on the other side.
All the 27 months, we're ratifying the deal that we do.
Well, they will be ratifying, but also the European Parliament itself signs off the terms before the European Commission can agree. I agree with David. At the end of it, we want to get a good deal. And in fact, this is not something which is earth-shattering. The Prime Minister is going off and she's going to work hard, and I think Dave and I will be supporting getting the best possible deal.
Let's look at the nuts and bolts of what the vote means. When should it be held? October next year, do you think? What in your ideal world, where would you like it to be held?
It has to be done at a sensible time before the final deal.
That's October.
I'm not going to actually tie the Prime Minister's hands. That's why I don't think we need to put dates in the bill either. The Article 50 process gives us an end date. We work within that parameter, and I'm sure it's going to be a good discipline to both sides that they know that they've got to have something which is acceptable to our Parliament, acceptable to our, collaborators, our friends on the other side.
But to be meaningful, it's got to be enough time before we leave in March 19 to change anything, surely. So therefore, end of next year, not later than that, is meaningful.
Probably, but I don't think I'm going to. I don't want to box the Prime Minister in, because Parliament can meet swiftly if it has to.
Yes, we'd have to move very swiftly indeed if, in fact, the deal were done, for example, in February of 2019. Very quickly indeed. And, of course, again, we come back to the problem. If, in fact, Parliament decided not to endorse the deal, then we would be left leaving the European Union, crashing out, as the Remainers would put it, without a deal at all. And I think that that's something that everyone wants to avoid. So I'm perfectly relaxed about what we did yesterday, because I think it'll concentrate minds on both sides. We've got some people on the Labour side than on the Conservative side who simply don't want us to leave the European Union. But we've got a lot of very responsible people, again, on both sides who understand that what we've got to do is to ensure that this country leaves on the best possible terms. And anyone who abused their position, I think, when it came to discuss that particular agreement, would be doing the country a huge disservice.
It's very hard for even Labour to vote against a deal, won't it? Because that's a no-deal option, which WTO rules, which everyone thinks is a bad idea.
I think any sensible deal will be supported by the House of Commons. But the principle that the House of Commons has to do it, and that Parliament isn't trammelled, was the key thing. But in practice, I'm convinced that this will, as David says, concentrate minds and we will get a good deal. We're all behind that 100%.
So is what has changed that MPs now have a chance to amend the deal, do you think? Is that what's going to happen here?
I think it's more important, actually, that we influence the terms of trade. That's really what it's about. That the European Parliament is going to have to know that if they put a deal which is unacceptable to the British people, the Parliament will have a say about it. The Prime Minister is out there going to get a good deal for us. My view is very simple. Chris, 36% of my constituents work in the financial services sector. I want to make sure that the deal that we get is one that's protecting their jobs, their livelihoods. I'm sure we will, actually, but I think I need to have that safeguard.
So, David James, the vote last night might strengthen Theresa May's hand, because she'll have to say, look, I've got to sell this to Parliament. Give me, it's not just me in the room now, it's all of MP, all the MPs are with me in the room now.
I think that, perversely, that may well be the case. But I think there's another thing that we shouldn't overlook. The European Parliament has got a veto over this process at the end of the day. The European Parliament contains an awful lot of people who regard Britain's departure as an existential threat to the European Union. And they're not going to be that well disposed towards us. So I think that, I hear what Bob says, but I don't think that we should place too much trust in the European Parliament to be concerned about what happens here.
But you can imagine the optics next year, can't you? If MPs, as I imagine they will do, vote in favour of the deal, maybe amended, but the deal, and then the European Parliament votes against it, you've got a battle between two parliaments. I mean, it's almost raised the stake in Brexit, doesn't it, before the big day?
Well, I took the trouble the other week of going over to meet some centre-right MEPs with some colleagues, and people who normally would be of a broadly similar cast of mind to us. Some of those are very unhappy at our leaving, but it will actually strengthen our position. The message I got very clearly was it will strengthen our position if we are clear that we have gone through a proper parliamentary process ourselves. Mm. So I think, again, ironically, it will strengthen the Prime Minister's hand at the end of the
day. What do you think went wrong on Wednesday night, David? Was it a whipping operation? It strikes me that the whips need some backbone, because they keep messing up.
Well, I'm not going to criticise the whip's office. This was, by any standards, the most difficult vote that Parliament's had for many years. So there were a number of people who I think would have voted that way, yes, come what may.
Right.
But I think what is important is that for the rest of this process, up to the point of departure from the European Union, I think it's extremely important that the whips keep in very close touch.
But by moving Gavin Williamson weeks before this key parliamentary passage, she's weakened the whips office at the very time she needs a strong whips office, doesn't she, to get this stuff through the Commons.
I can only say once again, whichever way you look at it, there were people last night who voted against the government who I think would have voted that way come what may, and I don't think that you can criticise the whips on what was such a difficult evening.
Do you see any bullying in the lobbies last night? Any tears were shed? You're a grown man, Bob, you won't cry, I'm sure, but there were some tears apparently from some of your colleagues who joined you in the Labour lobby last night.
My dealings with the whips office were entirely courteous and reasonable. I think we can all learn and move on. The key thing is to keep in touch and to make sure, because we have a parliament which does not have an overall majority, that everybody on our side, and we're all on the same side, keeps talking. That's the important thing.
Were they heavy-handed with maybe female colleagues? Or there was reports of tears, threats to sue if you say we're bullies, that kind of territory?
I speak only from my own experience with the whips, which was entirely courteous.
So anyway, when you may have mentioned talking about whips with MPs, they sort of shut down completely. David Jones.
I've never had any difficulty with any whip, and I think that the most important thing for members of Parliament is to make sure that their whips know precisely where they stand on issues and what they intend to do. I think that the whips are very reasonable about this sort of thing. They will try to work around people's concerns.
Yes.
And I think that the heavy-handed whipping days of Maastricht are long behind us.
Looking into next week then, there's going to be another vote on whether Parliament should accept this amendment from Theresa May herself about putting the date and time of leaving the European Union on the front of the bill. David Jones, should that be dropped now?
I was always a bit surprised it was put on the bill in the first place. I think you have to remember that we are leaving the European Union in March of 2019, whatever happens. So to put the date on the bill is superfluous, it's unnecessary, and frankly, it's just symbolic. So that, again, is one that I'm fairly relaxed about.
Bob Neil?
I agree with David entirely. The date is set in the Article 50 process. We're leaving at the end of the Article 50. Unless there was some very short-term extension, no more than that, we're going to leave. I accept that. It doesn't need to be on the face of the legislation.
It's a wider issue. I heard a colleague of yours, Stephen Hammond, saying that actually you can delay Brexit by a month. That there's a bit of an elasticity in the terms of Article 50. Are you aware of that?
My understanding has always been that to delay it, you need to get unanimous agreement of our side and their side. But I think that comes back to the point that David and I agree on. You don't need to put this on the face of the
bill. I don't think so. And I can't see anything on the face of Article 50. In any event, the EU has already announced that we'll be leaving at midnight on the 30th. In our time, it's going to be 11 o'clock on the 29th.
Yeah, that's UK time, not Central European time.
And that's the date that we've got.
So it's going to be a difficult choice for Theresa May next week, which is going to be an authority bashing again on the head of all the parliaments you pray for Christmas.
In the scheme of things, it doesn't really matter very much. And yesterday was embarrassing for the government, but it will overcome it and Brexit will roll on.
And you're okay, Bob Neil? You don't feel... what would you say when you see Theresa May next for your Christmas drinks?
I shall have the same pleasant conversation with her that I've always had. I've known the Prime Minister for 35 years. And when we were both councillors together on London boroughs, we're not going to fall out over this. And at the end of the day, we're going to get a good deal and leave the European Union, as the public decided, on proper and decent terms. We're all committed to that.
David Jones? You and Bob will share a glass of mulled wine, won't you?
I can tell you now that Bob and I have had many a convivial glass of wine in the past, and we'll continue to do so.
Bob Neil, David Jones, thank you for coming in.